Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down between Jew and Gentile to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest is red hot for the Messiah. Mark Ferkler has come out with a series called Prayers That Heal the Heart. It's on 8 CDs, and it's got 7 supernatural prayers that covers every imaginable base to remove the anchors or the legal rights that spirits have, demons have, and then they have to leave. And people that have had problems in sickness, problems in with certain emotions like fear that have been excessive, problems in with addictions, they're getting free. I wonder, Mark, if you would explain to me what a heart is like that needs to be healed, and what a heart is like that's been healed.
All right. Well, that's a great question, Sid, because a lot of times we don't realize our need for deliverance, and I didn't realize my need for deliverance. And when Kay Cox prayed for me, she cast out a good 20 demons or so. And so I asked the question afterwards, how could I have had 20 demons inside of me and been a spirit-filled pastor of God for the Lord and not known I needed deliverance? And the Lord gave me a definition of a healed heart. He said a healed heart is a heart that is full of faith, hope, and love. 1 Corinthians 13:13, faith, hope, and love. Now abide faith, hope, and love. They are the abiding realities. They go into eternity. And a healed heart is a heart that has that in it. And an unhealed heart is a heart that has any opposite of faith, hope, and love in it. So the opposite, of course, of faith would be things like fear, doubt, unbelief. Opposite of hope would be rejection, abandonment, loneliness. Opposite of love would be anger, hatred, rage, and bitterness. So those would be heart wounds. We would consider each one of those categories a heart wound. Fear, doubt, unbelief is a heart wound. Rejection, abandonment, loneliness is a heart wound, and demons can live there. So if there's any area of my life or your life that you can look at and say, I don't have faith, hope, and love there. Like I look at my marriage, do I have faith, hope, and love that this is going to be an exquisite marriage? Do I look at my finances and have faith, hope, and love? I'm going to have abundance and no lack. Do I look at my children and my ministry and say, I have faith, hope, and love? And if there's any area that you can look at and say, I don't have faith, hope, and love there, then that's a heart wound that needs some prayer ministry.
Mark, as a pastor, you had a very effective deliverance ministry. And then when you saw just not getting results, you pray and nothing would happen. Did you figure that maybe you didn't have a deliverance ministry?
Well, I obviously knew I did have a deliverance ministry because I'd cast thousands of demons out of hundreds of people.
So why'd you stop?
Well, because I'm a theologian primarily, and I got very frustrated theologically because I commanded a demon for an hour to come out in the name of Jesus, and it wouldn't move. And I said, I'm so confused theologically, I'm not going forward in this area anymore. I'm sorry.
Okay, so you stopped for at least a decade. What caused you to start again?
Well, I got messed up in my own heart. My own heart picked up wounds during that 10 to 12-year period. And
it's fairly easy to pick up wounds by being in ministry. Actually, it's pretty easy to pick up wounds by being a human.
Well, it really is. You know, I got fired from a job or two, and I had a few people reject me and things I was saying, and so I picked up a spirit of rejection and a self-rejection, and I picked up anger and hatred towards those who fired me, and so I had demons of anger and hatred and rejection and fear of rejection and doubt, non-belief. All of them were attacking me, and the way it would manifest for me is if I got into a situation that was the least bit fearful, I would feel something rise up within my heart and grip me. It was fear. It would rise up and grip me, and I would be terrified. And I thought, man, you know, I mean, the situation's a little bit threatening, but this fear owns me. It's gripping me. It's driving me. And I, And when something rises up and grips you, then that's a good clue it's a demon.
Okay. Tell me about your experience with this woman. I'm not familiar with her, Kay Cox.
Yeah, Kay Cox. She was in Australia at the first seminar I went to. Her husband was a surgeon, and he said when some of the surgery patients he had, he'd give them to his wife, and she would do prayer ministry, and they wouldn't need surgery afterwards, so he was...
She's going to put him out of business.
Well, that's why he didn't give her all of his... And so I said, you think she'd pray for me? So he asked her, and him and her got together and prayed for me the next day, and she spent about 3 hours, and they cast about 20 demons out of me, but they did more than that. Before they cast the demons out, they removed all the legal rights, the legal anchors that the demons had to get there. They did inner healing prayer, breaking soul ties, ungodly beliefs, inner vows, inner healing, word curses, and they went through and had me repent in all those different areas, and that was removing the anchor that the demons were tied to, and then once the anchors were gone, the legal rights were gone, then she was able to cast the demons out very, very easily, and then the lights went on for me, and I said, now I understand why I couldn't get that demon out, even though I hollered for an hour at it in the name of Jesus to leave, because a demon had a legal right to be in the person's life, because the person had unconfessed sin. And if we can break the legal rights and the anchors first, then deliverance is easy.
Just out of curiosity, when you had that session with Kay and she cast these demons out of you, you had been in ministry for how many years?
Oh, probably a good 15 to 20 years.
Okay. What was there a perceptible difference in the way you felt? Did you feel lighter? Well, how did you feel?
Oh, yeah, because now I can face a fearful situation, and nothing rises up within me and grips me. Fear doesn't rise up and grip me and say, oh, I own you, you know, and now I don't have anger rise up within me and say, I hate this person, you know, and control me and push me, and I don't have doubt and unbelief rise up. You know, my heart is free again, all right, where it wasn't free. I would have these things gripping my heart, and there's nothing inside now gripping my heart, pushing it in negative directions. The only thing gripping my heart is the Holy Spirit saying, why don't you forgive? Why don't you love? Why don't you be nice?
Tell me about the early church. We've kind of lost a lot of things from the early church, but what was their view on deliverance?
Well, one of the books I read many, many years ago said that in the early church, before people got saved, they automatically took everyone through deliverance as part of their preparation for water baptism, and then they water baptized them. So it was normal and natural for everybody to experience deliverance.
And you know what's kind of interesting is in books that I have read after you know they ministered a little bit to the person, they would exercise their faith that just as in your series, after someone dismantles all of the, you call them the anchors that are allowing the legal rights of that demon to be there, after that's all dismantled, you pray for the demon to leave. Well, what they used to believe is after everything was dismantled, you just put someone and immerse them in water, and when they come up, they're free of every demon. I kind of like that.
Well, I like that too. And, you know, we've heard stories today of people who went in to the waters of baptism and they were smokers and they came out totally delivered of nicotine. And they believed that when they went into those waters, they would be delivered. And because they believed, God meant them. And so, yeah, we could train Christians, young believers, why don't you believe for to be totally set free of the power of darkness as you go through these baptism waters? And if you'll believe that, God will break this all off you.
What difference would it have made to you if you had gotten rid of all these legal rights, if these seven supernatural prayers had been prayed over you and every spirit was cast out when you first started as a believer? Can you imagine the difference?
You know, I could have been a lot further down the road, I think, because, you know, when you're believing people are going to reject you, that doesn't really facilitate an effective ministry, because you're sending out waves of belief saying to the person, I think you ought to reject me. And their spirit hears that from my spirit, and they say, oh, I think I should reject the guy. So I went through a lot of rejection in those early years just because I believed that's what was going to happen.
Well, you have some amazing testimonies of people that have gone through your course and what's happened with them, and we'll talk about some of them later on in this week. But what do you feel like after you've taught this course and 100, 200 people have these spirits cast out of them and their whole lives are changed, their whole destinies are changed?
Well, I tell you, I'm over the top. I just am as happy as can possibly be because you know, I'll stay to the church and preach on Sunday because we do the deliverance on Saturday afternoon and evening usually. And boy, people will share testimonies and they say, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free, I'm light, I'm light, I'm light, I'm healed. And it's so rewarding to see the power of God transform a person's life through deliverance per ministry. It's one of the greatest things I experience.
Give me something that just happened, a testimony of someone that was just set free.
Well, I'll give you one from 3 days ago. I was at Living Waters Ranch out in Idaho this last weekend, and at the end of the seminar, we broke into groups to pray for people who needed physical healing, and one of the ladies in my group, she had a neck wound. She was in a car accident years ago, and her neck, her vertebrae, had hurt her for many, many years, and we prayed for healing for that neck, and one of the things I prayed for was deliverance, for any demons attached to that neck to leave it. And as we prayed that, she said she felt something leave her neck. And we got done praying, and she moved her neck all the way around in directions that she had not been able to move it for years. And she said even though she'd been prayed for several times for healing of her neck, she had never had deliverance prayer, and she felt that demon leave, and it restored full mobility to her neck.
This may be the key for all types of healings. But this has to be a basic, the first type of discipleship for every new believer. But the sad thing is most believers haven't gone through this. And so wherever you're at, it's time to go through it and then help others go through it. We're making the 8 CDs available called Prayers That Heal the Heart. Oh, do you need this for a donation of $40? Call or write today for Prayers That Heal the Heart. To hear this week's interview in its entirety, or to watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpocha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521.